welcome to another edition of The Difference. I'm Dan O'Donnell, back after a week's vacation. Dave Spano, the president and CEO of Annex Wealth Management. You have a wonderful vacation, Dave.
Yeah, it was Dominican Republic, and glad to be back, be honest with you. It's a long time to be away. I did work a little bit from remotely, but I certainly missed being on with Dan O'Donnell, I can tell you that.
Clearly the highlight of your week.
No doubt about
it. You don't need to tell me. So this week, we are still looking at the long-promised interest rate cuts, but there are some investors, based on the higher-than-expected inflation numbers in both January and February, as well as a somewhat surprisingly strong jobs market, 300,000 jobs in the month of March, there are some investors who are saying, you know, we might not get those interest rate cuts after all. I have a difficult time believing that, since the market is basically pricing these in and has been for some time. What do you think about this, Dan?
Well, you know, why that really started late last week is because Minneapolis Fed President Neil Kashkara said as much, as well as Dallas Fed President Lori Logan, both said it might be too early to talk about rate cuts in light of all of this evidence that they've gotten. And remember, the Fed looks backwards and not forward. So they're looking at data that has come in and not looking at what could happen down the road. So we're watching that right now. There still is a very high likelihood that we're going to get 2/4-point rate cuts sometime this year, perhaps before the election. But the Fed is in a precarious position because, you know, they really have this, what's been described as this two-sided risk. Do they wait too long? And if they wait too long, do you have this GDP that begins to roll over and perhaps a recession in 2025? Or do they do it too soon and inflation, of course, continues to kick in? They're really in a predicament right now. But for right now, it seems that Jerome Powell is on the right path. And you'll remember that I was pretty adamant about the fact that they waited too long to start to raise rates about a year and a half ago. So I hope they don't make that same mistake again. But if you remember back in 1973, 74, remember your economic books, there was inflation that happened. You know, we had the oil embargo and all those things. And then it began to subside. And then there was another inflation hike in 79 and 80. What we're worried about, Dan, is will there be more inflation coming down the road? And there's lots of things that could cause that to happen, including higher oil prices. And here's an argument, Dan, that people are not making. Immigration is helping job growth. All of the folks who are coming in are coming into the jobs number, and that is really keeping unemployment, it's really keeping the unemployment rate low.
In fact, if you want to hear one of the most insane statistics imaginable about jobs, since 2019, all of the job growth, 100% of it, according to Labor Department figures, has gone to immigrants. Mm-hmm. In the fourth quarter of 2019, compared with the fourth quarter of 2023, so 4 years, this is a final full quarter without the COVID shutdowns, there are 2.7 million more people working. Okay.
Yep.
Total jobs. There are 183,000 fewer American-born people working than were working in the fourth quarter of 2019, but there are 2.9 million more immigrants working. And so all of the job growth is being driven by immigration.
So let's talk about this. This is an opportunity for you to clear your position, because I've heard it. The fact that we're not against immigration, I should say that you're not against immigration, you're for legal immigration. I mean, that's right. How this country got here, and I think it's an opportunity for you to restate that.
Oh, yeah. Clearly, there is a net benefit to immigration, so long as the United States, and this is a matter of national security, knows completely who it is that's coming into this country, so that we don't have an unchecked flood of people coming from all over the world who are just waltzing across the Rio Grande or waltzing across the mountains into California and just setting up shop in the United States. That creates chaos. That is a national security disaster. It is what we're seeing with various outbreaks of tuberculosis, of all things, measles outbreaks centered in migrant shelters in Chicago and elsewhere around the country. when we aren't able to properly vet people into this country, that becomes a massive problem. And of course, we've seen the tremendous strain on city economies and city budgets, state budgets, as these migrants are going to cities like New York and Chicago, Boston, Denver, San Francisco, big liberal sanctuary cities that are getting huge influxes. Look no further than Wisconsin, Whitewater, seeing an influx of 2,000 to 3,000 illegal immigrants. The city there can't sustain that level of population influx of people who need social services. Now, contrast that when you have people who are coming in, they're applying to be American citizens, they're going through the proper channels, they are engineers, they're doctors, they're computer technicians, they're coders. They're coming in because companies need to bring them in, the Apples, the Teslas, the healthcare systems. When they're coming in and are immediately able to contribute to American society, that obviously is a net positive. It's when we have a chaotic system at the southern border, which is quite literally bankrupting some of America's biggest cities because of the massive strain on the social safety net and because of the massive amount of money that it's taking to pay for people who aren't working, who are coming here and getting government benefits. That, of course, is an unmitigated disaster.
Yep. And that is well said. And that's the reason why we have to continue to watch that, because as this continues to happen, Dan, we look at not unemployment rate, but what the Fed is doing, and as importantly, what fiscal policy is doing as well, because that, what's happening at the border is a policy decision. One thing that you're going to hear a lot about this week is student loan cuts. In fact, the president will be in Wisconsin as we're recording this today on Monday before the eclipse. We're starting to see information out there right now that shows that he's going to try to push this forward. And what will the Republicans do about that? Because that will be one more thing that will push more money into the economy. That's one idea. The second, of course, is will there be another tax cut? The third thing is what's called this employee retention tax credits. If you remember this, all of this money is going to come back into the economy, $150 to $200 billion. And by the way, there's a million of those applications for the ERTC that haven't been taken up quite yet. That is pushing more money into the economy. That's inflationary. And that's why you see gold and inflation moving in opposite directions right now. That normally doesn't happen. Gold has begun to go up, and generally inflation follows that. And we're not seeing that right now. So inflation could be set up for an acceleration next year with a slowing economy. And we certainly hope it doesn't set up to be a stagflation type scenario, but more importantly, a solid economy with inflation being reduced.
Let me drill down just a little bit on student loan debt relief, because this is a massive expenditure on top of the, what, $34 trillion in federal debt that the American taxpayer is already on the hook for. On February 21st, the president announced that he was canceling $1.2 billion worth of federal student loans for about 153,000 borrowers. Now, that's on top of more than $130 billion in student debt he's canceled so far. According to the Penn Wharton School, Biden's efforts will cost a total of $475 billion over 10 years. And just to be clear, this isn't student loan debt cancellation. This is a student loan debt transfer. It is a transfer of the debt burden from the people who individually contracted to take on debt to get a college education onto the American taxpayer, who is what, rich Uncle Sucker that now has to pay for junior's college education? I don't understand this except in the context of politics. Biden is struggling mightily with young voters, that's especially exactly right. Those on the radicalized left. The pro-Hamas movement has been a very damaging thing for him politically. He's called Genocide Joe pretty much wherever he goes. There was a big rally in Dearborn, Michigan, where to mark the end of Ramadan over the weekend. And the speakers were, A, the crowd was chanting death to America, something I never thought I would live to hear on American soil. But one of the speakers said, look, it's not just Genocide Joe that has to go. We need to tear down the entire imperialist American system. This is Biden's voters now. I mean, yeah. This is the thoroughly radicalized left. So what Biden is clearly trying to do here is essentially bribe a certain number of them to come back home and say, okay, well, you might not like me because I don't think every Jew in Israel should be killed like you apparently do. But look, I paid off your student loans, so yep. We cool, right?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. So we were talking about wiping away up to $20,000 in student loan debt for those making less than $125,000 a year. And this is the second attempt at this. You know, what will really happen and what will the Republican attorney generals do with this? But, you know, let me just go back to one point about, you know, the people who hate this country. Think about what those people who are coming through from the southern border, what they're doing, you know, crossing the rivers and leaving their families and letting their kids and climbing over the fence. Mm-hmm. Why are they doing that? They're coming here because it's the greatest country in the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're not
coming here. Nobody is banging down the doors to get to Afghanistan, okay? Even look at Canada, okay? Canada, you could argue, has a much more accessible and porous border than does the United States. And we're constantly on the American left compared unfavorably to Canada. Well, immigration would probably be what people vote with their feet and they vote with their wallets, right?
Yep.
Well, America, by virtue of the rest of the world voting with its feet, is the unquestioned greatest place on earth. You're absolutely right in that score.
So I was funny. I was in the DR and there was a lot of Canadians there and they said, yeah, we're going to put up the fence to keep the Americans out. So that's the other way around. But yeah, there's no question that we're going to have to watch this. In politics is going to be interesting over the next number of months, as we all know. But we look at a number of indicators, and one is open to everybody. It's called Predict It. And Predict It now has tightened up this race significantly between Trump and Biden. We're not really sure why. Could be that the RFK voters are perhaps, as you put it, coming back home and leaving and going back to Biden. We'll have to see. But over the next several months, it is going to be interesting. Buckle up, because a lot is going to happen, and it's going to have a dramatic effect on a lot of things. But here's a positive piece of information. Earnings season is starting in just a couple of weeks, and earnings estimates are supposed to be very attainable. So that could start another rally in the stock market. It's taking a pause as we speak. The S&P is up 10% year to date. All of this means, as we go through your portfolio, what's going to do well? What trades are going to do well? Will there be another reflation trade? Does gold belong in your portfolio? All of these questions go along with tax bills, which are due, of course, next week. All of this says, what do you own? Why do you own it? How much you're paying for it? These are questions that you and I are going to have to debate over the next 6 months.
Yeah, I just realized this because I got my stuff to my tax guy a long time ago. We're taping this on April 8th, tax day, April 15th. Holy cow.
Yes, sir.
This year, where is this year going, by the way? We're already almost midway through the fourth month. I am continually amazed at how this year has flown. I think it's a function of getting older, Dave.
Yeah. just flying by, right?
It is. It really is. It is. But, you know, as we are in every 4 years, let's face it, it's the most eventful year. You've got the Olympics coming up this summer. You've got the presidential race. And with that, you have got big news, financial, political, broken every single day. And that's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. It is a politics and economics podcast. It sits right at the intersection, I like to say, of Wall Street, of Pennsylvania Avenue, and of your street, because what happens in Washington, the politics I cover and the economics that Dave focuses like a laser beam on, they come together and they have an impact on you. That's why we always urge you to go to annexwealth.com, get that free portfolio. It's a wealth metric available only at annexwealth.com. For Dave Spano, the president and CEO of Annex Wealth Management, I'm Dan O'Donnell. Thanks again for listening to The Difference.
Annex Wealth Management is a registered investment advisor. For more information about our firm, please visit annexwealth.com. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and is subject to change without notice. Opinions expressed are those of the participants and don't necessarily reflect those of Annex Wealth Management, its producers, hosts, or guests. The host of this podcast is compensated for his endorsement of Annex Wealth Management. Information presented should not be considered as tax, legal, or investment advice, or recommendation or solicitation for the sale of any product or strategy. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from qualified professionals to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Investments involve risks. Neither Annex Wealth Management nor its podcast participants shall be liable for losses resulting from decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on this podcast.